The devil is having a good time with your joy, your peace, your health, your well-being. He and the demons and the ungodly are partying with your stuff.
But Dr. Tony Evans says God has given us the power to change all that.
So you better go get your stuff back, because the devil has no right to it.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says everything we have has been given to us by God to manage. But what happens when some of that inventory gets stolen? We'll find out who the culprit is and what we can do about it as we join him for today's lesson.
What Satan has done is he has been the rogue of the universe, entering into our affairs and stealing from us that which God has or wants to entrust to us. Well, we want to conclude our series today by helping you to get it back. Whatever he has stolen from you illegitimately, I want to tell you today, you have the right to reclaim it. If the devil, directly or through any of his minions, have ripped you off, I want you to leave here today and claim your stewardship and go get it. The passage I want to walk you through is 1 Samuel 30. David has come back from a battle only to discover in verse 1 that when he comes back to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites have made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and have overthrown Ziklag, burned it with fire. They took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went away. There's been a theft. David finds himself in a terrible situation. So much and so that when David, verse 3, and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no more strength in them to weep. And so David and the men are distraught, but it gets worse. Verse 6. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters. Now, wait a minute. David comes home. His house is burned down. His family is gone, along with all the men. They cry till they can't cry anymore, and then they want to stone David, as though David did the theft. But you see, when you get bitter, you want to take it out on the wrong person. See, we get mad at folk when Satan is the cause of the situation. We get mad at the wrong enemy. It says they got embittered against David when David had the same problem they had. They've been ripped off. So instead of you getting mad at your mate, mad at your coworker, mad at your boss, let's find out who the real enemy is. Get mad at him. He may be working through them. They may be the Amalekites in your life. But let's find out the real cause and the real cure of why you've been ripped off. So now you got the problem. It's been a ripoff. So if you've been ripped off, your joy, your peace, your career, your well-being, your identity, your relationships, your life, on and on and on and on and on, how do you get it back? Let's find out. The end of verse 6 says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Oh, but that's the first thing he did. Now let me show you the second thing he did, because it's a beast. Then David said, verse 7, to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now the ephod is a garment. It's like a robe that the priest wore with no sleeves. It was the official garb of the priest that he would use as he pursued going into the presence of God. On the ephod was a breastplate over the chest. Attached to the breastplate was the Urim and Thummim. These were like two stones that were attached to the pouch on the breastplate that circled the ephod. So when the priest needed to get guidance from God, he would go and put on his ephod with the breastplate that had the Urim and Thummim. That was the mechanism that he would use to get specific direction from God on the predicament that he faced. David went to the priest. He said, "Let me have your ephod, because I got a problem. The enemy came here, took everything I have. My own people are against me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where they're gone. I don't know where they are. I don't know what to do, and I need God to show me what to do. So I need your ephod because I need guidance in my problem." You see, there's only so much the preacher can do. So the best thing the preacher can do is give you an ephod. Because David wanted to hear from God for himself. Sometimes people expect other people, because of their positions, to give God's solution to your personal problem, when God wants you to put on the ephod yourself so he can deal with you directly. Okay, watch this. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, David was anointed king of Israel. Now, he was anointed in 1 Samuel 16, but he had not yet been appointed. Okay, stay with me. He was anointed, you're going to be king, but not yet appointed. He was not yet king. When he was anointed, it says the Spirit of God came on him. So watch this. He's anointed, the Spirit of God comes on him, but he's not appointed. He hasn't gotten a position yet. So between the time he's anointed and the Spirit of God comes on him and he's appointed, and before he was appointed, he is stolen from. In other words, just because you've been anointed and just because the Spirit of God is on you don't mean the devil not going to take something from you. Just because God has saved you and just because you are living for the Lord doesn't mean the devil's not going to try to rip you off. So he had the anointing and he still got ripped off. You're on your way to heaven, but the devil has still ripped you off. You're saved, but the devil has still ripped you off. Well, that happens in the process of living out the Christian experience. But let me make sure you understand. David got anointed and you have the anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27 says all Christians have the anointing. That means you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life to give you your own ephod. Every believer has access to their own ephod, that is to get personal guidance in the specific situation that you are facing, because every believer has the anointing. The job of the pulpit is to encourage you to put it on. What's David's problem? Here's his problem. He doesn't know who stole. He doesn't know where they've gone to, so he is without direction. I wonder if there's anybody here who doesn't know what to do next. You don't know what to do in the situation, how to get out the situation, how to repair the situation, how to fix the situation, because it's been going on so long and you've lost so much that you're ready to throw in the towel. Well, I just want you to know, before you throw in the towel, put on your ephod, because God knows some stuff you're not aware of.
Dr. Evans will come back with the story of David's rescue mission and what it has in common with a famous fairy tale. First, though, if you'd like more insight on managing your life the way God intended, get in touch with us for details on the recently released book, Kingdom Stewardship. You'll learn why stewardship really means so much more than finances and discover the deep satisfaction and rewards that come from managing God's resources God's way. Today's the last day we're offering a copy of Kingdom Stewardship as our gift when you make a contribution in support of Tony's ministry. But we're also including all 12 full-length messages in Tony's current series, plus the study guide and DVD that go along with the Bible study. This Kingdom Stewardship resource bundle makes a great addition to your home library, and it's perfect for use with your Bible study or fellowship group. Get details today at TonyEvans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that information for you again later on after part two of today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
So David has a question. David's question is, Lord, should I go after them? A very specific question. He says, he inquired, verse 8, shall I pursue the band? Shall I overtake them? If I go, will I get them? And if I go and I get them, am I going to be able to rescue? He gets a rhema word, verse 8, pursue, go. For you shall surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. Ooh. God wants to see you walk by faith with the little he's revealed before he's going to give you more information. You got a lot of people waiting on God when God is waiting on them. God is giving you a little bit. He's just giving you a little. But God, that's not enough information, because God is saying, I want to see what you're going to do with the information I gave you before I give you more data, because you might not keep going if you're not willing to respond to the little I've given you. So you obey what there is to obey, and then God will show you more. So he says, get up and you go after them. I've got your back. He begins the journey to try to find out. It will become clear he doesn't know where to go. So he's just going, hoping that God shows him. Now watch this. Verse 11. Now they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate, and they provided him water to drink. They gave him a fig cake, two clusters of raisins. He ate. His spirit was revived. He drank water. He hadn't drank water and eaten food for 3 days and three nights. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. David, all David's stuff is gone. People want to kill him. God says, just go. You just pursue, even though you don't have the information. And then we're introduced to an Egyptian. What's that got to do with the price of tomatoes? We're thrown in the story as something that doesn't seem that. Why this Egyptian? Egyptian is brought to him. Egyptian is fed. He's revived. David says to him in verse 13, watch this. To whom do you belong? And where are you from? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of Amalek. I'm a servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites and on that which belongs to Judah and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Oh, no, you didn't. You mean to tell me I'm obeying what God told me to obey? I run across a hungry man who is dying and who needs something to survive, and I pause on my journey to reclaim my stuff to minister to somebody else and to serve them. And as luck would have it, the Egyptian that they feed is part of the terrorist group that invaded the Negev at Ziklag, as chance would have it. See, God knows how to hook a brother up, how to hook a sister up, if they will keep moving in the way he wants them to move. And something that looks like it had no relationship to the problem is the answer to the problem. Because guess what? David said to him, will you bring me down to this band? Do you know where they are? And will you take us there? He said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band. Well, who would have thought this man with no food was the answer to the prayer to take me to get my stuff back? See, that's why you got to move with God and not predict God and not put God in a box, because he'll use some of the most unlikely folk to be the answer to your prayer and to turn your situation around. So a man who was the problem was saved by David is going to lead them to the problem so he can get his stuff back. What I'm trying to tell you is God knows where your stuff is. He knows where the enemy is taking it, and he knows what the enemy is trying to do with it. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. That's how good God is. He can not only preserve your stuff, get you your stuff back, but get you stuff beyond the stuff you were looking for. I believe Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think according to the power that works in you." So God is able to get back what the enemy has stolen. He is your insurance policy. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he causes us to triumph. He says in Romans 8 verse 37 that we are more than conquerors. The Bible says in Colossians 2:15, the devil has already been defeated. So he has no right to your stuff, but we let him keep it because we don't go after it God's way. So you go back and you get your joy. You go back and you get your peace. You go back and you get your family. You go back and you get your victory. You go back and you get your career. You go back and you get your stability. You go back and you get your life, because the devil has no right to it. It's illegitimate. But you must go back as a steward and not as an owner. You must go back as a manager and not like it belongs to you. Because the moment you own it, you're no longer a steward, and you've invited the devil into it.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to wrap up our program with a fairy tale story that has a true life application. Stay with us.
God has an incredible purpose for you, a calling for your life to make an impact that lasts into eternity. And Dr. Tony Evans, along with Focus on the Family, wants to help you embrace that exciting invitation with Tony's newest book, Kingdom Stewardship. This powerful new resource shows you how to use your time, talents, and treasures to not only advance God's kingdom agenda, but also to maximize your purpose. Get your copy of Kingdom Stewardship today at TonyEvans.org.
Today's message was the last installment in Dr. Evans' series on Kingdom Stewardship. And when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station, we'll send you this 2-volume teaching series, including a lot of material we haven't been able to present on the air, along with an in-depth study guide, a DVD with additional custom content not available anywhere else, and his newest book, Kingdom Stewardship. This is one of our largest bundle offers of the year, and today is the last day it's available. Visit TonyEvans.org to get all the details before time runs out at day's end. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. A dream can be powerful enough to set a whole new direction for our lives. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will take a look at the amazing difference it makes when we dream God's dreams and start seeing them come true. Right now, though, he's back with this final illustration.
In one of the versions of Jack and the Beanstalk, Jack and his mother in this English fairy tale are in a cottage outside of London. And they are poor and running out of food. The little garden is not producing anything more, and the cow's milk has become weak. The mother says, "Jack, the only way we're going to survive for at least a little while longer is you got to sell our cow." "Sell our cow, Ma?" "Yeah, you got to sell the cow and get as much food as you can get. So take him to the butcher, sell him so that we can get some more food." Jack takes the cow and begins to walk to the butcher. But on his way, he runs into an elderly man. The elderly man says, "Young man, where you going?" Says, "I'm going to sell the cow to the butcher." He says, "I'll buy that cow. What will you pay for the cow?" "Well, I've got 3 beans here. But these are magic beans." "Jack, I can't do anything with magic beans." Yeah. No, trust me. You want these beans. In fact, if these beans don't do good by you, I will give you back your cow." Jack exchanges the cow for the 3 beans. Jack comes home to his mama and said, "Mama, I got 3 beans for the cow." Mama is ticked off. "You got rid of our cow for some 3 beans? because these are magic beans. Boy, magic nothing. You've been ripped off. The boy goes to bed at night and frustrated, throws the three beans out the window. The next morning, Jack wakes up, and outside of his little cottage is a beanstalk. And the beanstalk is humongous, and it goes all the way through the clouds up into the heavens. He's never seen anything like this. The magic beans have produced a beanstalk that's blown his mind. Jack begins to climb up the beanstalk. He goes through the clouds, and when he gets through the clouds, he looks over and he sees a castle. When he sees this castle, a fairy godmother shows up and says, "Jack, let me tell you something about that castle. That castle used to belong to your father. Your father was a knight, but the giant came and killed your father, and he took your castle and everything that was in it." Jack says, "So you mean to tell me that's my castle? That's your castle, but the giant took it from your father." Jack went inside the castle, and to make a long story short, he hid in the closet. And when he peeked out the closet, he saw a basket with golden eggs. Jack said, "Those are my eggs." He saw the giant come out and tell the hen, "Give me another egg." The hen pumped out another egg. Jack said to himself, "That's my hen." The giant came out with a golden harp, began to play it for a little while, melodious sound. Jack said to himself, "That's my harp, because it belonged to my father and I'm my father's son. That's my harp." And so Jack was sitting there and just kind of biding his time, and then the giant went to sleep. When the giant went to sleep, Jack snuck out, picked up the basket, grabbed the hen, then grabbed the harp, made his way to the beanstalk. But on his way to the beanstalk, the hen made a sound and woke the giant up. The giant said, "Fee, fi, fo, fo. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he live or be he dead, I will grind him with my teeth for him to be my own bread." And he makes his way and he sees Jack off in the distance. And the giant begins to run because he wants to grab Jack, eat him up, destroy him, because Jack has reclaimed what belonged to his father. Jack is making his way down the beanstalk. The giant is chasing him, coming down the beanstalk. Jack gets to the bottom of the beanstalk and takes an axe, chops the bottom of the beanstalk, and the beanstalk falls over. The giant breaks his neck, and the giant is killed because Jack reclaimed something that belonged to him that was bequeathed by his father. What I'm here to tell you is that there is another tree that connects heaven and earth. There is another tree that connects glory and history. There is another tree. Because Jesus says in John 15:1, "I am the true vine. I am the one that you climb on. I am the one that you look to. And if you will embrace me, if you will come to me, I know where the giant lives. I know what the giant has that belongs to you. And if you'll take the faith risk to go and get it back, I will take you and I will bring you to safety. When you get to the bottom and you've let the devil know he can't take from you anymore, then you'll be able to say, 'Fee, fi, fo, fum. I have the blood of God's only begotten son. Be he alive or be he dead, I've got the one who's my eternal bread.'" When you connect with Jesus Christ, he knows where your stuff is, so you go get it. You say, "Devil, you can't have my joy. You can't have my peace, my purpose, my family, my resources, my health. You can't have it because I belong to somebody else." So why don't you get up and praise him that you can get your stuff back?
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.